We have here, you have a picture of a fruit tree, and it's being fruitful. And this is the idea of what a Christian is supposed to do. They are supposed to produce fruit. The title of this morning's message is The Stream of the Spirit, and it's talking about how the Holy Spirit is supposed to stream through our lives and produce fruit in our lives. And so you see how beautiful the tree is to those that grow fruits and to those that grow vegetables, to watch your plants to be growing and sprouting and building and budding and all those other things. You know, it's a beautiful sight. But also there are trees and orchards that end up looking like this too. Ones that are dead. You touched it again, didn't you? Just picking on you. Let's see here. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully that's not at all of them. The trees, and maybe it has to do with having pictures up there, and things die. And one of the things that it needs, one of the most important things it needs nutrients, but it also needs water. And the Holy Spirit of God represents that for us. The stream of the Spirit here, and let's look here a little at this, and it says, what makes the difference? To bear abundant fruit. You know, in our Christian lives, do we look more like the dead tree that's not producing any fruit, or are we producing abundant fruit? So in our Christian lives, what do we look more like? A growing, thriving tree that's producing much fruit? Or are we pretty much dying or look dead, fragile in our Christian lives? What makes a difference between the two? To bear abundant fruit, trees must have water, sunshine, and good soil with nutrients to sustain life. Such is the Christian life. It all starts with the fertile soil of a soft heart, seeded with the Word of God and then nourished with the watering presence of the Holy Spirit. Our spiritual lives grow from these three elements working together. Exposure to the right spiritual nutrients and elements trigger a natural process of transformation and fruit bearing. In our lives, if we'll have a tender heart to what God has for us and we get into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God waters this presence that we have, you know what? We're going to produce fruit. It's not something we have to do on our own. But on the other hand, like sickly trees, it is possible to become discouraged, distracted, and disinterested in the Word of God, and we stop growing. When properly nourished by God's Spirit, our lives remain full. They remain fruitful. But when the spiritual life is neglected, we dry up and wither in fruitlessness. And, you know, which one would you rather be? You think about those trees that are producing much fruit, and then you got those that are withered that are, they just look like they're getting ready to die. In the last couple of lessons, we've been looking at the struggle of the flesh against the Spirit. Now we discover the wonderful results of letting the Holy Spirit have control and do His work in your life. It's called fruit. And the Bible has a lot to say about fruit-bearing Christians. Probably the most famous passage of Scripture is John chapter number 15. And in John chapter 15, I thought I had it written out there, but if you want to look it up, you can. But in John 15, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch, now listen to this, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And what this is teaching is that the source of the fruit is none other than Jesus Christ. He's it. It teaches us the vine and we are the branches, that He is the source, Jesus Christ, and we are the branches receiving our nutrients and life from Him. And the point of this passage is the Lord wants us to continually bear fruit that glorifies Him. There is nothing good about you or me. You say, well, where do you see that? Well, it says it here. It says, abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You know, they cannot bear the fruits of the Spirit. He says, well, I know a lot of people who are kind, and they might be part of even a cult, or they might be someone who's unsaved. Those are things that they've learned. Those are things contrary to their flesh. But they cannot produce the fruits of the Spirit in a natural way. And He says, you cannot do this without Him. There's nothing good about you or me except Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing without His help. In our own selves, fruit does not grow naturally. I don't know about you, but out there in the field that's out there by the side of our house, that sometimes that's not cut down. You don't see many fruit trees growing out there, do you? You don't see naturally an apple tree going up there and producing apples and oranges, you know, because that's not natural. What do you see out there? You see weeds, because that's what comes naturally. And that's what comes in our own lives. If we leave ourselves to ourselves, you know what's going to happen? We're going to become a fruitless Christian. Our purpose of this abiding relationship, it's here that we're supposed to glorify God. You know, we're supposed to grow outwardly, that our lives might make manifest the presence of God. We are supposed to allow this fruit to show so the rest of the world can see that we are a child of God. You know, sometimes people, and I'm sure we've probably said this before, I said it before. You know, do you know whether or not a person is a Christian? And sometimes you'll say, where their life doesn't show it. There's no fruit for it. Where do they get that from? They get that from some references in the Bible. Now, is it me to know whether or not a person is a Christian or not? No, I cannot know that. Like Samuel told Jesse, actually God told Samuel, the Lord told Samuel, says, look, you can't judge him on the outward of their appearance. He says, I look at their heart. He's the only one to truly know whether or not a person is a Christian. He's the only one that truly knows. But you can tell how a person is living many times to say, you know what? Yeah, that person is an unbeliever. They never got it, or they are in a backslidden case. And when it says, wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them, fruit is the outward sign of the presence and power of God. It is what we will convince the lost world that the relationship with God is genuine and causes others to see God's unquestionable power in your life. What this fruit does, and when you bear the fruit, it shows God's presence, it shows God's power in your life. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, what do people see from you? If you claim to be a Christian, consider this for a moment. When others spend time with you, they see your lives, do they see an unquestionable evidence of God? Is there anything remarkable? Is there anything outstanding that is growing in your life? Are we exhibiting any qualities that would indicate a supernatural, transformational work taking place inside of us? Because this is what He wants us to do. He wants His outward world to see God through us. Is there anything in your life that someone would say, you know, because of the love they have, or because of the joy they have, because of the peace that they have, or because of the long suffering they do, and they take, you know what, they are different. They are supernaturally being used by God in this area. Are we producing that type of fruit? Christians who live in the power of the Holy Spirit are a marvel to the secular world. Their joy, their sincerity, their humility, and their peace are both ridiculed and envied at the same time. The qualities we are about to study are to what makes the Christianity life attractive to others. You know, sometimes I hear people, and I've heard people say, you know, if so-and-so is a Christian, I want nothing to do with it because I see the way they live and they're no better than me. And I try to tell people I would not go to hell for anybody. I'm not going to use anybody as an excuse. What they're living and how they're living depends on what. Don't worry about them as a Christian. I says, Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins and take you to heaven. He loved you that much. Don't worry about another person's Christian life versus another. But it's so great to say, when you hear somebody say, you know what, my mom or my dad for so many years lived for God, I saw in their lives and I wanted what they had. Or there's other types of testimonies. What in our life is showing this unregenerate, dark world that there's someone who lives inside of us? Are we attractive? Are we being outstanding and virtuous? Are we being excellent in every way? You say, Pastor, how can you do that? See, it just flows. If the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and you give Him reign, you give Him control, it's not what you can muster up, it's not how much you can be determined to do it. No, it's a natural thing. As you give yourself over to God and you give a tender heart, say yes to God, you give yourself over to His Word, the Holy Spirit of God flows through you and He produces the fruit to you that it's not something that you do on your own. It is completely Him, and all you can do is stand back and say, where did that come from? I'm not like that. That's not what my flesh wanted to do. But the Spirit of God takes over and takes control. And these are the fruits that are produced. It's not a choice. It's what He does. It's a natural, it's a flow that comes through. It's sort of like when you plant a certain seed, it's going to produce that fruit. And if you give yourself over to the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God has promised that He is going to produce this fruit in your life. Most importantly, the fruit is a natural product. I know I got a little bit ahead of myself, but we can read it anyway. It's a nourishing relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. It's not produced by self-will. It's not produced by an iron determination. It is produced by God's Spirit. You choose to abide in the vine, and the fruit will flow forth naturally. There is nothing more attractive and compelling to a lost world than a Christian radiating the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at these things, I want you to say, this is something I want. This is something I desire. This is something I want to have a part in. You say, Pastor, you keep on talking about fruit. I know most of you know what I'm talking about, but it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, look what it says. It uses the word singular form of the fruit. These are not fruits. They are fruit. They come together as a package. They all live inside you. Because I know some of us like to pick that list and look at that list and say, you know what? I'm not that bad at joy. I got joy. I can be happy no matter what's going on. No, no. The Holy Spirit, if we are naturally given over to Him, these things will actually flow in our lives and we will begin producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So I want us to understand this, and we're going to look at these things. We're going to look at 4 this week, 5 next week, and just a quick thing to help get us thirsty. To help us to walk away and say, you know what? That is what a Christian is supposed to be like. That is the things that Christians are supposed to be producing. This is what I want for me, and this is what I want for my life. And then let, and just, once again, learn where it comes from. We are the vine, and we need to be attached. We are the branch. We need to be attached to the vine, and we need to let it flow freely. Think about the Holy Spirit produces fruit. The Holy Spirit produces love. One of the most glaring deficiencies in our today's society is love. Many neighbors barely know each other by name, let alone care about their needs at all. Many people in our culture today are starving for love. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. We probably, most of us remember that song that says that love is nothing but a secondhand emotion. And the truth of the matter is, when it gets to the world, that's pretty much all the world can get out of it. That's the best. That's about as good as you get. No matter how hard the world searches, true love eludes someone who does not know God. The Bible says that love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The only way to experience and demonstrate true love is through the Holy Spirit of God. The daily news is saturated with stories of hate and indifference. Sometimes between nations, often between neighbors and friends and relatives. What ever happened to love? I don't always read, but I like to glance through the headlines, and I saw, you know, a teenage boy, you know, killed his parents and 3 younger siblings. And I was like, man, I didn't click on it because I didn't have time to read about it, but that happens all the time. Happens all over the place. Love, a poem that was written. What is love? It is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when your neighbors curt. It is deafness when a scandal flows. It is thoughtfulness from others' woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. It is courage when misfortune falls. And you know, one of the greatest passages of scriptures about this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I ask you to go there. I want to look at this list again. And you can see that in this list, as we read through it, you'll see, you know, love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It does not brag. It's not arrogant. It does not behave itself. It is not easily provoked and does not harbor evil. I know those are not the exact words that are used here. That's why we're going to read that. But that just kind of helps you give a commentary on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you look at this, you could work 10 lifetimes and never perfect this list. You could spend your whole life trying to work up these things to your mate. But if we'll let the Holy Spirit guide and direct our lives, He's saying that He can take this and grow this fruit in your life every day if you'll give yourself to Him. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4, charity suffereth long. It gets the idea of it being patient. It keep on going. It says, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know, this is just a wonderful passage of scripture that puts us in perspective and say, this is how I should love. This is the way I'm supposed to love. And then when we consider this to how we treat our mates or treat our family, and then go even to an extent and say, this is how I treat my church family, and then even go a step farther and say, this is how I treat the lost world, and we're like, I could spend the rest of my life trying to love somebody like that, and it just won't happen. But God is saying that He can produce this in you. Even the hardest and coldest heart, He can produce this in you. And how do we do it? Is it because we work it up? No, it's because we give ourselves over to Him and we let it flow naturally through us. Not only does the Holy Spirit produce love, He produces joy. Since the beginning time, men have sought for true and lasting joy in things that bring only temporal happiness. You know, you think about it, Eve sought for it. Cain sought for it. You know, over and over, you see them saying, I am going to find happiness in this. It's apart from God. It is away from God. I am going to find happiness. I am going to be satisfied. It's only something that is temporal. Think about the testimonies of some of the most richest people that ever lived. You know, financial prosperity does not mean that it's going to have joy. Let's see here. John Jacob Astor was America's first millionaire and the richest man in America at the time of his death on the Titanic. He said, I am the most miserable man on earth. Wow. John D. Rockefeller said, I have made millions, but they have brought me no happiness. W.H. Vanderbilt has said, the care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. There is no pleasure in it. Andrew Carnegie said, millionaires seldom smile. Henry Ford said, I was happier when I was doing a mechanic's job. You know, it's just amazing how some people say, you know, they can grasp certain things and this is going to bring them joy. But in the search of joy, most men grasp for money and possessions of fame, power, or even painkillers. But all these leave your heart destitute. It leaves it disappointed. And the Holy Spirit's fruit of joy, however, runs so deep that even in a time of suffering, joy can be produced in your life. We think of the story of Paul and Silas at midnight. They were prayed and they sang praises. How do you get that? I tell you, I don't always feel like singing praises. I do like to think the Holy Spirit helps me through a lot, and that I don't get very low many times because I know what God's done for me. But to think that I'm going to be singing praises after somebody beat me, I'm not there yet. And I need help with that, because I know that sometimes when we face things, I still like to have a pity party. I like to get a little bit discouraged at times, and God helps me through it. But it reminds myself, and one of the reasons why we went through 1 Peter last year is we wanted to have a proper vision. And 1 Peter, these people are going through fiery trials. This is a first century church that is being put to death. And he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. He's saying, look, you're going through a heavy time, a hard time. But then he begins to say that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, we can rejoice. We can have joy that is unspeakable. There is not words to describe what the Holy Spirit can do in our hearts and life because of what Jesus Christ did. That phrase, joy unspeakable. Joy is indescribable kind of happiness that can only be produced by the Holy Spirit of God. These people were going through deep trials. They were going through dark times. But in their hearts, there was a presence of joy because they knew that God was in control. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure that they weren't all running around jumping up. There's a difference between trying to manifest the joy and trying to pretend to be joyful than really truly having joy in our hearts. The Holy Spirit produces peace. Another thing that is just something the world really looks for. Our society bases peace on outward circumstances. The world longs for peace. The world is looking for peace, world peace, peace of mind, inner peace. And God tells us the key to having this peace.
And in Philippians chapter number 4, it talks about how what that key is. It says in Philippians chapter number 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God is one that can only bring this peace. True peace comes only from God. As we give our cares to Him in prayer, He can provide peace in the midst of trials, problems, and even death. In 1955, there was a story that was recorded of Nicholas Ridley. Nicholas Ridley was condemned for preaching, and he was convicted, and he was going to be put to death the next day. His brother, thinking that he is going to be a help to his brother, comes to try to spend the night with him. He gets the okay, and his brother says, "I come to comfort you tonight." And you know, Nicholas Ridley says, "I want you to go home." He says, "I plan on sleeping better tonight than I ever have, because I have complete peace about what's happening." And throughout histories, we hear stories of people who face death with prayer on their lips, a song in their heart, and compassion in their heart, in their eyes. Christians have been slaughtered in the arenas of Rome, the prisons of the Inquisition, and the stakes of England. Yet through it all, God has been glorified, and people have experienced peace. This type of peace can come only through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. This is the only place where it comes from. Think about this. The word worry is from the German word worgen, which means to choke. And when we are worried and stressed, it chokes out our ability to concentrate. It chokes out our ability to serve. It chokes out our ability to have the right decisions. But the Holy Spirit produces peace. Doesn't matter how great the pressure is in your life. It matters that the pressure pushes us closer to Jesus Christ. And He says, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind has stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I know it eludes me sometimes when things are going wrong and it seems like the other things are building and building and building. Peace isn't there. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen now? But He says if we'll give ourselves over to God, that we can have this fruit flow naturally in our lives. Think about what it says in Colossians 3:15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Now, I like that phrase. It says, this is what's supposed to rule. There will be other things in your heart. Fear will be in your heart. Anxiety will be in your heart. Worry will be in your heart. That's part of having a flesh. Those things will come up and they will present themselves and they will say, "This is what I want you to think about." But the Bible says, if we let the peace of God rule in our hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. We find the Holy Spirit is a peace that rules over our soul. You think about, it's a beautiful thought. When your soul is burdened down with agitations, overwhelmed with excitement, or tired from worry, the peace of God will reside over you. It will rule in you. It can give you calmness. It can give you unexplainable, undeniable peace of God, no matter what the situation is. That's hard to see. It's hard to imagine. But that's what He says He'll do. See, that's why I'm wondering, what is it that we are producing? What is it that we're showing? You know, this outside world, what is it that they see when they see us? Because this is what God, He wants glory from us. He wants us to produce these things. So the world, so your family, so your loved ones, your neighbors, your and workers, employees, the people you work with. This is what He wants you to produce. I wonder how many of us wouldn't need to grow here a little bit with this. I know with me, I do, because I just want it to flow through me. I don't, once again, it's not about what I can do. It's about Him just flowing through me and using me for His will. The Holy Spirit also produces long suffering. The English word for long suffering comes from two Greek words, which means slow to wrath. This is a Holy Spirit developed quality of endurance that patiently waits without becoming angry. This is also a challenge. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I like things to be done right. I like things to be done on time. And I know there's nothing wrong with wanting to do things right and wanting to do things on time. But here, this long suffering is that we live in a day of quick fixes. We live in a day of text messages and FedEx. And FedEx even gives you emails when their packages are going to arrive. And fast food, we are accustomed to immediate gratification. In the 21st century, we do not like to wait on anything, especially things or people that frustrate us. And it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit of God can help us with this. Clara Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross, was reminded one day of a vicious deed that someone had done to her years before. but she acted like it had never even, she had never even heard of the incident. Her friend said, "Don't you remember it?" And Clara Barton said, "No, I distinctly remember forgetting it." I thought that was good. We can choose to forget when we can choose to forgive. Long grace of a man who could revenge himself, but does not. The fruit of long-suffering enables us to trust God to work in other people or through other situation when it seems as if we would accomplish more by immediately taking matters in our own hands. In my Christian life, there has been times of overwhelming times of anguish when I could do nothing but wait and endure. And in those times, I believe the Holy Spirit of God can give me a fruit of long-sufferings. I don't always understand it. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by it, but I can't always see the purpose of the trial or the hardship, but I can know that the work of the Holy Spirit is doing something during this time. So here comes the question. Are we exhibiting any of these? Either love, joy, peace, long suffering. Is that fruit being buried in our lives? He says, "Yeah, I got one of them." Well, how does it go back to that? It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? He's supposed to be trying to produce all these things in our lives. This is his desire, is to produce all these different things. I want to encourage you today. You know, let the Holy Spirit have control. Let him flow through your life. You say, "Pastor, make it sound damn easy." And no, it's not that it's easy. If it was easy, everybody would be producing it. Everybody would have these things. But in 2016, I want to grow. I want to produce fruit. I want this to characterize who I am to this world. I want people to see this, and I don't want people to glorify me. I want people to look at that and say, you know what? Only God could cause a person to act like that. Only God can do that. Only God can cause a person to have that type of peace. And I've seen that before. Only God can cause that type of person to have that type of joy. And sometimes you read those missionary letters and they're going through all those different things and they say, but praise be to God. Now, I know they're writing it, and it's easier to write than live sometimes, but don't get me wrong, I see them when they come off the field many times, and you hear their stories, and they still want to get back to it. They didn't come here to stay and mope and complain. They're like, man, it's only, 200 more days till I get back to my people. That's where they want to be. They have joy. That love. You know, there are some people out there today that are unlovable. Sometimes we live with those people. Sometimes it's very hard to love them. But God says he can produce a fruit. He can produce something in your life to help you love, to have that joy, to have that peace. Before salvation, these qualities would not have naturally flowed from within you. Thankfully, the stream of the Holy Spirit can begin today, and that will eventually be an abundant harvest. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is produced because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is not a byproduct of us saturating our lives with his word and submitting to his Spirit. And in the next lesson, we're going to look at the other five traits. But I don't know about you, but this is exciting to think that we can have these things in our life. It's a reminder. This is what you can be if you let the Holy Spirit take control. I know that's what I want. I pray that's your prayer too. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for the men and women that are here today. Lord, as we get ready to leave or say goodbye to 2015, and we begin to focus on 2016, help it be a year that we decide we want to grow. Lord, we want to be fruitful. We want to be the picture of the first tree where it's evident something is going right. We don't want to be like the other tree that's dying and evident something is going wrong. We want to tell this world and show this world, not with our mouths as much as with our actions, the fruits that you're producing in our lives. Help us to be a light. Help us to shine bright for you, that they may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Help the service to follow. Help all day's activities to go well, from the dinner time, from the morning service to the afternoon service. Lord, just help us enjoy one another's company. In Jesus' name, amen.